Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, August 4th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. And yes, I said Sunday. Y'all are getting a Sunday night upload right here for the Weekender instead of Monday, which has been the case the last few weeks. So as always, I appreciate y'all for checking the show out when you can, regardless of my upload schedule. But that said, it is Sunday. I'm doing Sunday night because GCW Can I Trust You just ended, and I wanted to include that in the results today. So yeah, you'll be getting this late Sunday night, and you can check it out whenever you want, of course, right here on FightfulSelect.com. Got a lot of results to go through today and some spoilers. And of course, we're coming off of a huge weekend. We had SummerSlam for the WWE. We've had a lot of AEW. We've had GCW, some stuff we're going to cover today, a bunch of indie stuff. We had UFC, if you're an MMA fan. There was some boxing, a whole bunch of stuff going on over the weekend. NFL's back as far as, like, you know, some preseason stuff, so a lot going on, an exciting time as a sports fan and a fight fan and fan of, you know, wrestling and sports entertainment and all that good stuff. So a lot going on this week and this weekend. I was trying to attend a Limp Bizkit concert actually today, but I couldn't go. It was raining a little bit earlier and some things just kind of didn't fall into place as I expected them to. So didn't wind up going to the concert today. I know Action Wrestling ran a show in Atlanta today that I'll probably have the results for next week for you guys. But some kind of Action Wrestling adjacent results here on today's show that we'll get to here in just a second. Some stuff out of the TWE Arena in Red Bank out there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But as I had mentioned, we got a lot of stuff we can talk about today, a lot of results and some spoilers. And if you want my thoughts on everything that happened on WWE SummerSlam, I'll be talking to Jeremy Lambert during the Spotlight on Fightful, our show every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We talk AEW, WWE, indies. We do interviews with wrestlers and indie promoters and, you know, other YouTube creators and all this kind of stuff. So tons of stuff for y'all to check out over there on the Spotlight on Fightful. And that is where I will be breaking down WWE SummerSlam. So that all said, let's go to the topics for today's episode of The Weekender and jump right into it. This episode, we've got results for GCW, Now and Forever, and Can I Trust You? We've got AIW, Against the World, and Slammed on 6th. Against the World has aired on Triller TV+. Slammed on 6th, to my knowledge, has not aired anywhere yet, but I do have the results for y'all right here today. Also have results for Jameson Shook Presents Good For You. That's the show that I was just alluding to. That's kind of Action Wrestling adjacent and took place out of the TW Arena. Got the full set of results for y'all today for that. Also have results for NXT Level Up Wildcat. We got some quick results for Wildcat X-Rated. The results were sent in to Fightful. Jeremy put them up on the site, and I'm going to just kind of break them down a little bit for y'all, give a little extra shine, a little spotlight to an indie company that we haven't covered here before on the show. So their program, their event, whatever you want to call it, has not aired yet anywhere to my knowledge, but I got the results for y'all today as well, and there's some interesting names associated with that show, so we're going to definitely get into all that. And we also have spoilers for Impact Wrestling, so that's what we're going to close the show out with, is going to be Impact spoilers, and I'll make sure to give you all a heads up before I read those spoilers out, and I'll put the timestamps in the description if you want to remain spoiler-free. So once again, quick recap of the topics for today. We got GCW Now and Forever, GCW Can I Trust You, AIW Against the World, AIW Slammed on 6th, Jameson Shook Presents Good For You, NXT Level Up, Wildcat X-Rated 8, and TNA Impact Spoilers. So without any further ado, let's jump into the first set of topics, which is the results for Game Changer Wrestling. So first we got here is GCW Now and Forever. This show took place out of Cleveland, Ohio. A lot of shows took place out of Cleveland over the weekend. Of course, AIW is Cleveland-based, and we're going to get to those results here momentarily, but a lot of the stuff we're covering and a lot of the stuff that happened over the weekend took place in Cleveland because, of course, SummerSlam was in Cleveland, and similar to WrestleMania with, you know, a collection of independent shows that run at the same time, or in the same area, rather, as the big WWE shows, but the collective being like the main example of that over WrestleMania weekend for the indie scene. But you'll know what I mean when I break all this stuff down. You know where my head's at. But that said, you know, this was a lot of wrestling in Cleveland because WWE was in town. And you know, we got a lot of good WWE to look forward to. You know, I'm going to talk about that once again on the spotlight with Jeremy, but I've got a WWE show coming up in October here in Atlanta, Bad Blood, which I'm really looking forward to going to. I believe my tickets have been secured for that already, so fingers crossed, but I'm really, really looking forward to being there because, of course, I'm expecting Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare from Atlanta, Georgia, Lasseter High School alum, MTXE. You know, of course, he's the champion. I hope he's still, of course, the WWE champion coming into that show. I'd imagine he will be, and he's going to bring that title back home right here to me and the rest of us, his loyal fan base here in Atlanta, Georgia. So that said, let's talk some GCW. Show started off for GCW Now and Forever from the Temple Live Asylum Room. This show took place on August 2nd. So this was on, what day? My days are all screwed up. Friday. This was on Friday. They didn't run Saturday because of WWE. Then they ran today, Sunday. So this was the Friday show. And this is available on Triller TV Plus. As a matter of fact, all the GCW results and then AIW Against the World, as well as, I'm assuming, the next AIW show, but a good chunk of today's results are all available over on Triller TV Plus as a part of their Triller TV Plus package. Not endorsed or sponsored to tell you to sign up, but they got a lot of great stuff over there. Show started off with a dark match, which I don't have, you know, the results to. I have the results for as far as I know who won, but I don't know what happened in that match. I just know that Jimmy Lloyd defeated Ariel Van Gogh, Facade, and Jeffrey John. Once the actual show started, kicked off with Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, the former Bang Bros. They defeat CPF, the team of Danny Black and Joe Lando. I'm a big fan of Joe Lando. I haven't seen as much of Danny Black, but the two of them are a very good tag team, and I have seen a lot of their tag team work over the years, but I've also seen Joe Lando do solo stuff, both, you know, on various streaming platforms, but also live in person. I've seen him, for instance, I saw him do singles matches in at a GCW events in at Center Stage. I don't know, I was blanking on Center Stage. It's like my favorite venue. One of my favorite venues. My favorite venue is the Basement East in Nashville, Tennessee, but they don't really run wrestling shows out of there anymore. That's a long story for another time. I hope that changes because I love that venue, but that said, first match, once again, we had Bang and Matthews over CPF. And by the way, Joe Lando, if you ever hear this, man, you're very steez. Very, very steez. Finish of this one was the Spears Tower by Bang and Matthews, which I used to call Ride the Bus. I think they used to call it that back when they were the Bang Bros, but now they call it Spears Tower, which is like their double team, kind of like assisted electric chair somersault into a spear. And then followed up by Davey Bang off the top rope with a 450 splash onto Danny Black for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Alley Catch over Sonny Kiss. Based on the crowd reaction, it seemed like they did not expect Sonny Kiss to be there. That's one of the beauties about GCW is a lot of the time they have unannounced talents pop up, and Sonny Kiss got a great reaction because it was unexpected. You know, people didn't expect Sonny Kiss to be coming out there. At least that was, to my understanding, I don't think Sonny was advertised ahead of time. But good matchup here where Alley Catch defeats Sonny Kiss. The finish here was the Heat Seeker Pussy Pile Driver. So the Pussy Pile Driver, but like the MJF style where Sonny Kiss was like, you know, through the middle rope to the dome, 1-2-3. After that, we had Sidney Akeem over Gringo Loco to remain undefeated in their GCW run, that being Sidney Akeem. There was a really sweet spot in this match I want to mention where Gringo Loco hit like a top rope inverted angle slam. It was like a barrel roll angle slam. It was really nice. And the way that Sidney's body was inverted from how you would normally see an angle slam, it just visually a really, really cool move. And I've seen Gringo do that move before, but I don't know if I've seen it as much of a barrel roll as I saw on that one. So really cool stuff. Always innovative. Both these guys very innovative, as a matter of fact. The finish here was a barrel roll molly-go-round. So, like, Sidney Akeem comes off the top rope, does a 360, and then lands in that seated senton position. And that's why I call it the molly-go-round. If you are familiar with, you know, Molly Holly's top rope finisher, the front flip into that, he does a barrel roll into that, which is super impressive looking. Follows up with a Pele kick, and then hits his double back handspring cutter for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Zilafa 2 over Joshua Bishop. Bishop, y'all know how I feel about him. I talk about him all the time. He's huge in this Cleveland area. And, you know, we're going to talk about him throughout a lot of these results today. But big matchup here against Zilafa 2. Zilla, of course, obviously has a lot of eyes on him. He's had like 20 matches in his entire career. And everyone's already, you know, it's like a foregone conclusion that he's going to be WWE bound soon enough and probably be involved in this storyline, this civil war, maybe, if he's there in time, you know, to get involved. But he's progressing very quickly. He's got a great look. You know, I've been covering Zilla basically his entire career because there's not that many matches. But big match here because obviously there's a lot of eyes on this. And Joshua Bishop is someone who has a lot of eyes on him in general right now. Had a good run in MLW, having a good run right now in Impact or TNA. And I could only imagine the sky's the limit for him. I think I've said it 1,000 times. He's going to be a big deal on television for one of these major companies for sure. You know, he's still a young guy. He's still in his early 20s. This was a banger of a match. Very much enjoyed it. Went like 11 minutes long. Zilla gets the win after hitting a second rope Samoan drop, followed up by a Superman Samoan spike for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a 6-person tag team match where the Lucha Guys, the team of Arez, Jack Cartwheel, and Galindo Del Mal, they defeat the Young Dude, the team of Alec Price, Dustin Waller, and Marcus Mathers. The finish of this one was Galeno hitting his spinning final reckoning onto Waller, and then Arez coming off the top rope with a double stomp onto Waller as well, and then Jack Cartwheel finishing off Waller with the Jack Arrow off the top rope, his version of the Black Arrow, Red Arrow, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know if he does an extra twist or what, but I don't know if I'm just tricking myself into thinking this, but I feel like Jack Cartwheel hits it a little bit different than how Pac does. I mean, it's ultra impressive anyone who can execute any version of that move, it's ultra impressive. But Jack Cartwheel is just obviously one of my favorite guys out there on a human level and as a wrestler. So, and just super innovative. So it's just one of those things where I see him hit that Jack Arrow and I feel like he's adding like a little extra something to it, but maybe I'm just convincing myself of that. Either way, it's once again, incredibly impressive. After that, we had Effie versus Raj Desi, the former Jinder Mahal. This goes to a no contest. Basically what winds up happening here is two masked men hit the ring who we are assuming are the people we've been seeing in these vignettes, these like videos that were leading to Desi's debut in GCW and setting the stage for this Desi versus Effie feud that's ongoing right now. So two masked men hit the ring, they get unmasked and they're just two complete no names. They're decoys because two more masked men hit the ring and attack and unmask to reveal themselves that they actually are the Bollywood Boys. So Jinder Mahal and the Bollywood Boys have reunited on the indie scene, which of course is a callback and a reuniting of a major WWE act. I mean, regardless of your thoughts of Jinder Mahal's actual run as WWE champion, he did legitimately, I say legitimately, it's a predetermined sport or whatever you want to call it, but you know what I mean. He actually was the WWE champion. I mean, that's in the history books, that did happen. It's a real thing. And a big part of his act while he was the champion was his alliance and basically the Bollywood Boys doing a lot of his dirty work for him catching a lot of strays for him, really, throughout the whole title reign. So it's good to see the three of them back together, though, because they really should have never been broken apart to begin with. But anyway, the Bollywood Boys attack Effie. And then Ali Catch and Manders make the save, and the whole thing is thrown out because so many people, you know, got involved. And they wind up making the announcement pretty much on the spot that even though Manders was a part of this, just I'm assuming just because Dark Sheet probably just wasn't there, but this is setting up for Homecoming, a 3-on-3 match where it's going to be Raj and the Bollywood Boys versus Thrussey, the trio of Ali Catch, Effie, and Dark Sheik. After that, we had a 4-way match. This was a 4-way hoss fight. This was one called Manders defeating Isaiah Broner, Pero, and Sam Stackhouse. The amount of meat in this match was unmatched throughout the rest of the show. We had Manders getting the win in this one. I'll try to explain the finish the best that I can. So Isaiah Broner hits a lariat onto Sam Stackhouse and tries to get the pin, but it gets broken up, I believe, by a door being thrown into the ring, if I remember correctly. But that gets broken up, and then Pero spears Broner through a door that was set up in the corner, and Manders follows up by hitting a lariat onto Pero and pinning Pero for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Mance Warner versus Cool Ass Andy. This went on for like a minute, and basically Mance Warner just kicks his ass and throws him out of the ring. It's a no contest. This was all set up where it was like basically Matt Cardona was picking Mance Warner's opponent for this match and just giving him a dud. And it was all kind of a red herring because the real opponent comes out next, and it's Matthew Justice, who we haven't seen in GCW in quite some time, who of course has a ton of history with Mance Warner as a part of the Second Gear crew. We got a big reaction, Matthew Justice, for being back, and I'd imagine Mance is going to have to deal with a lot of his former SGC stablemates for a while. Like, obviously, him and Effie was the catalyst for, like, all of this, which eventually led him to the championship. Manders looks like he's been on a run. Like, the run that he's been on, it seems like Manders is going to be one of the next up for, a legitimate chance at that title. I don't see him beating Mance for it, but I see him being a contender on at least one more, maybe multiple occasions going after that title. Matthew Justice, I think, is going to be in that boat too. There's other members, former members of the SGC that can be involved in this, and other friends of members of the SGC. So you have, members that we haven't seen in a while that, no idea what the current status is, don't want to speculate, but I mean, we haven't seen AJ Gray in a long time in GCW. Don't know if he'll ever be back or not, but, he's someone who very heavily linked to all the people that I'm mentioning right now, and he has still been active outside of GCW. You got people like Cole Radrick, who, injured at the moment, but was a part of this story. Alec Price, friend of the SGC. Alley Catch, same kind of thing. So there's a lot of people that you can line up for Mance Warner if Mance continues to have this championship. And I do expect him to be the GCW champion coming out of Homecoming, but that could change. There's a lot going on. There's a ton of moving pieces right now in GCW. But anyway, as far as this actual match, Mance Warner defeats Matthew Justice in Matthew Justice's return to GCW. The finish here was, Jimmy Lloyd gets involved. Matthew Justice spears Jimmy through a door in the corner. And right after that happens, Mance Warner hits Justice in the back of the head with his title belt and then pins him for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Blake Christian and Shane Mercer over Los Macisos, the team of Ciclope and Mato Extremo. The finish here was Mercer hitting his DVD jackhammer onto Mato, and then, then Blake Christian following up with a curb stomp for the 1-2-3. So Blake Christian and Shane Mercer, who, have been teaming more often recently. Mercer also mainly been like a heavier bodyguard for Blake Christian when he was the GCW World Champion. Although he is still laying claim to being the true GCW World Champion, which is its own kind of other thing going on right now, which I'll talk more about because there's more that goes into that, like the next set of results. But it's big for Blake Christian and Shane Mercer to get this tag team win over Los Macisos, the former four-time GCW Tag Team Champions. I could very easily see a scenario where after this whole thing's over with like Blake Christian, Joey Janela, and Mance Warner, assuming Blake doesn't come out of it with the GCW championship still, probably a big tag team title run with Blake Christian and Shane Mercer. And unfortunately, Kevin Kuh is injured right now, so Violence is Forever, him and Dominic Guarini, they haven't been around to defend their championships, but it's one of those things where like they put in so much work as the champions already that they can afford to take a little break off of GCW TV and come back refreshed with, some new challengers lined up for them because they've already defended those titles more than anybody else ever has. After that, we had the GCW Extreme title on the line. Maki Ito defends and retains over John Wayne Murdoch. The finish of this one was basically the best way I can describe this is there's a chair that's set up, like an open chair set up in the ring, and JWM is going for a brainbuster which he does regularly, you know, onto open chairs. It's one of his, like, finishing moves. So he's setting that up. Maki Ito reverses that and then hits him with a stunner. And, like, the recoil of the stunner, when he takes the bump backwards, he hits his head, like, on the open chair. So it's, like, it's pretty nice, like, kind of bump you don't really see often. And then right after that, Maki Ito does a schoolboy roll up and then does, like, a bridge on the legs of JWM for extra leverage and gets the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, we had Matt Hardy versus Nick Gage. This was a no contest. This was Matt Hardy's GCW debut match. Kind of like a dream match. You know, not necessarily a dream match that I was personally, like, dreaming of before it was announced, but one of those things that, like, it is pretty cool that we're getting it. And, you know, the two of them did their best to make something out of this. They went out there for 14 minutes and beat the hell out of each other. Didn't look pretty the whole time, but the whole idea of this match was them beating each other up and mutual respecting one another, so that they can team up in the future. So I'll kind of explain what's going on here. So essentially, it looks like Nick's about to beat Matt Hardy. He hits him with a pile driver onto a bunch of open chairs, but before he can do the pin, Matt Cardona and Jimmy Lloyd run into the ring and attack both guys, so it causes the no contest. But after the match, Hardy and Gage challenge Cardona and Broski Jimmy to a tag team match at Homecoming. And also Matt Hardy massively puts over Nick Gage on the microphone. And Gage, of course, you know, sends the crowd home happy, MDK all up in day. This match, once again, it was meant to show mutual respect between Hardy and Gage and set up the tag team match between them versus Cardona and Jimmy Lloyd at Homecoming. So that was GCW Now and Forever 2024, available over on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got more GCW results. This is GCW Can I Trust You? This was earlier today, so this was on August 4th, 2024. This is from Asbury Park, New Jersey, also available on Triller TV Plus, and these are the results. So started off with Marcus Mathers and Alec Price over CPF, the team of Joe Lando and Danny Black. The finish here was Alec Price hitting a blockbuster onto Black, followed up by Marcus Mathers hitting a top rope 450 splash onto Black, 1-2-3. I like the tag team of Price and Mathers a lot. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of the Garbage Daddies, the team of Price and Cole Radrick. Of course, Cole being injured. Now, he does have the brass ring, so, like, he has a lot to look forward to when he's back. There's a lot of possibilities for him coming back and, you know, reuniting with Alec as the Garbage Daddies and going for the tag belts or going for the world title. I'd imagine he probably won't use it for the Extreme Championship. He is a former Extreme Champion himself. I doubt he's going for the Ultraviolent Championship, although he does a lot of death matches, or at least, you know, goes on runs where he'll do a lot of them. But that said, you know, we'll see what happens for Cole when he comes back. There's a lot of options. But in the meantime, I mean, I'm all for the idea of Marcus Mathers and Alec Price teaming more often. I think they work really, really well together. This was a great matchup. All four guys, young and just the future of the business. Speaking of the future of the business, we got another guy here. Two guys I'm a big fan of, but one guy that looks like he's finally getting a lot of shine and maybe in for a big push. So next match we had was Griffin McCoy defeating Tony Deppen. Finish here was a disaster kick, Cody Rhodes style, for the 1-2-3. Griffin is a guy who's been getting a lot of shine in recent years, various places, like mainly probably CZW and definitely in JCW. He had a feud with Jordan Oliver in JCW that will probably never technically end. The two of them, you know, are longtime friends, inside and outside of wrestling. Obviously they were both members of Young Dumb and Broke together for a long time. So yeah, you know, I see the two of them fighting forever, kind of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn style. But Griffin getting a big win over Tony Deppen, as I mentioned, with the disaster kick. And it's a big vote of confidence by beating Tony Deppen. I said this many times over the years. I view Tony Deppen as the litmus test of Game Changer Wrestling. Meaning, if you come in and you beat Tony Deppen, then that means that there's plans for you. if you have a match with Tony Deppen and the match isn't good, there's something wrong with you, because Deppen has good matches with everyone. So this, to me, seems like Griffin McCoy's in for a push in GCW, and I'm definitely here for it. Top guy time. After that, we had Fuego del Sol and Sam Stackhouse over Charles Mason and Richard Holiday. The finish here was Mason stealing the mask of Fuego. He unmasks Fuego during the match, and Fuego covers up. Him and Mason fight to the back, leaving Holiday and Stackhouse in the ring. Stackhouse hits a nice black hole slam onto Holiday and pins him. 1, 2, 3. Fuego and Stackhouse, Fuego House, I think is the they're calling their tag team, gets the win. After that, we had Gringo Loco, Jack Cartwheel, and Arez defeat Jay Lyon, Joel Maximo of the former, or not the former, of the SAT, I should say, the former legends of, like, you know, TNA back in the day, the innovators of the Spanish Fly. They literally created that move, the top rope Spanish Fly, or just the Spanish Fly technically, and it was a tag team move when they originated it, but always going to give a big shout out to Joel Maximo. But then again, once again, we had Jay Lyon, Joel Maximo, and Ariel Van Gogh on this one. The finish here was somewhat of a botch, but they saved it pretty well, but Gringo Loco looked pissed. Basically, what winds up happening is Gringo Loco hits a base bomb onto Ariel Van Gogh, but Ariel, like, didn't know how to take it or was trying to do too much. I'm not sure what happened there, but it didn't look right. And the second they hit the mat, you could tell Gringo Loco was mad. And Arez followed up with a top rope double stomp onto Ariel Van Gogh, pins them 1, 2, 3. And Gringo's, like, pointing at Ariel and, like, basically, like, making this, like the cut it sign with his, you know, like, let's get out of here. So, yeah, I'd be interested. I'm not going to dig to find out information about this, because it's like, you know, I'm not going to pry or try to, like, you know, I'm not like that. But just, it had me thinking, like, I'd be interested to be a fly in the wall after that, because, like I said, Gringo looked pissed. And Gringo's a guy who prides himself on being one of the smoothest wrestlers in the game, you know what I mean? So, like, when someone goes out there and something doesn't go right, usually isn't on him. So I don't know. I don't know if he was mad at himself or he was mad at Van Gogh, but he was pissed. It was pretty obvious. After that, we had Manders over Matt Tremont. The finish of this one was Manders hitting a top rope power slam through a door bridge for a kick out at 1 from Tremont, but Manders followed up right away with a running lariat. 1, 2, 3. Manders gets a big win over Matt Tremont. Once again, I've mentioned 1,000 times, it seems very clear to me, like, Manders has been getting a lot of wins lately, and a lot of big wins, and it just really feels like he's going to have a big title match with Mance Warner sometime soon. After that, we had Blake Christian defeating Masha Slamovich. Blake Christian, before the match, said he's putting his real Game Changer Wrestling Championship on the line in this one. Masha Slamovich, of course, the current reigning JCW World Champion and also TNA Knockouts Tag Team Champion. This was a great match, and Masha and Blake have a lot of history. As a matter of fact, if y'all remember, Masha Slamovich was the one who defeated Nick Gage for the championship, and then Blake wound up defeating Masha for that championship, and, you know, had a feud with one another for quite some time. So, a lot of history in this one. The finish here was Masha had a rear naked choke locked in on Blake. Blake, to escape it, falls backwards right on top. Well, basically, it was premeditated. It wasn't like a mistake, but he, like, jumps up in the air and falls back onto Masha right on top of the title belt that was in the middle of the ring. So Masha goes back first into the GCW title, and then, or the fake real lineal GCW title, whatever you want to call it, the one that Blake Christian carries. And then Blake hit a curb stomp onto that belt for the 1, 2, 3. After that, we had the GCW Extreme Championship on the line. Maki Ito defends and retains over Alley Catch. The finish here was a reversal of the Pussy Pile Driver into a Mousetrap pin for the 1, 2, 3 for the cutest in the world to retain that championship there. After that, we had Megan Bain over Mance Warner and Jimmy Lloyd. I don't know if they technically kept this as a handicap match, because Joe Janela, who they announced was not going to be there, did arrive and did help Megan Bain and did get the pinfall. So I guess technically it became a tag team match, but it was initially labeled a tag team match. Then it became a handicap match when Joey wasn't there. Then it re-became a tag team match. So sorry if that sounds so confusing. For all intents and purposes, we'll say tag team match. Megan Bain and Joey Janela defeat Mance Warner and Broski Jimmy. The finish here was Megan Bain hitting a spear onto Jimmy Lloyd, followed up by Joey Janela hitting a swanton off the top rope. And like he hits it through a door bridge, and Jimmy is underneath the door. So it wasn't like he went through Jimmy and the door. He just went through the door on top of Jimmy, which is different. You know, I've seen it before, like that kind of stuff, but you don't see it too often. But nonetheless, Joey Janela, top rope swanton through a door bridge onto Jimmy Lloyd, gets the pin, and Janela and Bane get the win. After that, Mance Warner attacks both Megan Bain and Joey Janela with a screwdriver, and Joey and Mance fight to the back. Blake Christian comes out and attacks Megan Bain. After that, we had the Legion of Rot, the team of Frightmare and Hallow Wicked, defeating Los Mestizos, the team of Ciclope and Mado Extremo. The finish of this one was not good. Not a good finish and very flat crowd reaction. So I'm just going to keep it real and try to do my best to explain what happens here. So Frightmare and Hallow Wicked set up two chairs, like how you would do a door bridge. So two chairs, but instead of putting a door on the chairs, they take Ciclope's body and they put Ciclope on the chairs. So you have Ciclope laying down on two open chairs, and Frightmare goes for a standing moonsault, but like lands on his own head while he's hitting it, and clearly shook by it. Like he sells it like he got hurt, which he probably legitimately did, because it was just a strange idea to go for this move because of like the height of where Ciclope was. So, like, you'd have to get, like, some real air to clear that. So, it's not surprising that Frightmare landed on his head. But, anyway, he kind of played it off, though. It wasn't the end of the world. Like, it just, you know, he noticeably landed on his head trying to do a standing moonsault onto open chair bridge for Ciclope on it. But that wasn't even the worst. Well, it was the worst of it. But the follow-up wasn't great either, because right after, like, it looks like, once again, he's kind of out of it. And then he just has, like a standing double stomp onto Ciclope, who is still on the chairs, and then after like a few seconds just pins him, and no one breaks it up, and it was like just a really flat finish. The crowd was super confused. The more important thing happens after the match, because afterwards Miedo shoves Ciclope, like, and so they're clearly going to be, unless you know they work things out, it looks like there's going to be a feud between Miedo Extremo and Ciclope going forward, which I'm excited to see, because we've seen those guys wrestle one another plenty of times. It was always like a friendly competition type thing. Even if it was a death match, it would be like, because if it was a tournament or something, right? But there was never any real animosity, and they always helped each other out and always, you know, cheered each other on, even when one of them was like out of a tournament, or, you know, one beat the other or something like that. But this was different. This was Miedo shoving Ciclope and leaving without him after this loss. So, To be fair, and I think this is playing into the whole story, Los Mestizos have lost a lot of matches recently, and really since losing the GCW tag titles to Violence Is Forever in Atlanta at Center Stage. I mean, this was a while ago already that happened. You know, I was there live, that one, of course, but it was a while ago that show happened, and Mestizos have been mainly losing since then, it feels like, so I'm not surprised to see that there's going to be some sort of breakup angle going on between the two, but I'm excited to see it because I think it's time. They're a great tag team, though. You can always go back to them having matches with any tag team you want to bring into GCW, but at least for the time being, have them go after one another. I'm totally fine with that. And the main event of the show, we had Raj Desi versus Speedball Mike Bailey. This one was a no contest. Basically, what winds up happening is Raj is kind of like relentlessly attacking Speedball, and Effie comes into the ring and spears Raj through a door bridge and then grabs a microphone. Match gets thrown out, and basically just talks about how Raj needs GCW and Raj needs Effie. All these people like Jeff Jarrett and, I mean, there's been quite a few of them that have come through GCW. Raj is just the most current example, but we've had people like Jeff Jarrett come into GCW and go one-on-one with Effie. Matt Cardona, a big part of like his introduction into GCW, was feuding with Effie. There's been numerous examples, but the whole point is that Raj is basically trying to use Effie to make a name for himself and be successful on the indie scene coming off of, you know, his WWE TV run. So good promo by Effie, and it's once again setting up the 3-versus-3 match of Thrussey versus Desi and the Bollywood Boys at Homecoming. So once again, that was GCW Can I Trust You? It's available on Triller TV Plus. More Triller TV Plus wrestling right here for you with some more results. We've got AIW, this is Absolute Intense Wrestling, against the Royal 2024. This show took place on August 1st, so this was on Thursday, and this was from the Temple Live Asylum Room in Cleveland, Ohio. These are the results. Had a pre-show match where Shaw Mason defeated Austin James. Once the actual show started, kicked off with Jocelyn Navarro over Rachel Armstrong. The finish here was a fisherman swinging DDT by Navarro for the 1-2-3. Nice looking finisher. I've seen plenty of, you know, fisherman busters and fisherman suplexes and this and that, but the swing out kind of DDT, the way that Jocelyn hit it, I think it looked pretty vicious, so good stuff there. And I'm a big fan of both these women. You know, I've talked about Rachel Armstrong quite a bit in recent years. Really caught my attention when she won Action Wrestling's Future Showcase tournament last year over SCI Weekend, so definitely keep your eyes on both these women. A lot of talent there. After that, we had Dominic Greeny over Manders. The finish here was Greeny going for a muscle buster, but his like back or whatever kind of like gives out. He's not able to hit the muscle buster, so he opts for the pile driver and then pins Manders for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Sam Holloway over Dex Royal, Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham, Mikey Montgomery, Trey Lamari, and Tyler Jordan. The finish of this one was a top rope splash by Hardway Holloway, landing on top of Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham for the 3 count. After that, we had the AIW Tag Team Titles on the line. PME, the team of Marino Tenaglia and Philly Collins, defend and retain their championships over the Motor City Machine Guns of Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. The finish here was Marino doing a mousetrap pin onto Sabin and sticking him for the 1-2-3. Great match, and, you know, PME, one of the best indie tag teams in the world. They've been killing it for years, really everywhere, but mainly AIW is where I think that they've had their most success and, you know, keep just better and better. I mean, they're super reliable and have great matches against everyone that they wrestle. And, of course, you're expecting Motor City Machine Guns to have bangers, literally everyone, because Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are, like, two of the best wrestlers ever. And there's a lot of rumors right now that they could be heading to the WWE. Me and Jeremy talked about that on a recent episode of The Spotlight. If you want my thoughts on the possibilities of Shelley and Sabin heading to the WWE, but if they are in fact heading there, it's been a long time coming and it's way overdue. And, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever's next for both Shelley and Sabin. As I mentioned before, I don't say this lightly, two of the best. If you're talking indies, like if you're talking outside of WWE, outside of AEW, they're legitimately two of the best ever. And then if you want to mix them with the group of everybody, every company ever, including the majors, including the big TV stars and whatnot, they're still going to be on people's lists. Like, that's how big of a deal Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin have been. So, you know, whether the tag team, whether they're doing tag team work or singles work, I'm obviously a big fan of both guys and want them both to have success in the WWE if that is where they're heading. After that, we had Kaplan over John Wayne Murdoch. The finish of this one was a gonzo bomb onto Tax for the 1-2-3 by Kaplan. After that, we had a four-way tag team match where To Infinity and Beyond, the team of Colin Delaney and Cheech, defeat Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, Latino's Most Wanted, Coda Hernandez and Saban Gage, and Los Desperados, Arez and Gringo Loco. The finish of this one, the best way I can describe it, it was like a double-team Deadeye and Vertebraker combination by Cheech and Colin Delaney onto Coda Hernandez for the 3 count. Brutal looking finisher, probably a finisher that, like, if I was a wrestler, I would just straight up probably refuse to take, if I'm being honest. Doesn't look super pretty, at least didn't when they hit it on this in this match, but like the idea of it is absolutely brutal. Once again, it's like a Deadeye and Vertebraker combination, so, you know, check that out for sure. After that, we had Eric Taylor over Heath, the former Heath Slater. The finish of this one was the referee gets distracted. While that's happening, Eric Taylor does a dick kick to Heath, and then rolls them up in a small package, 1, 2, 3. After that, we have the AIW and Tennis Championship on the line. Wes Barkley defends and retains over Anthony Green. Finish here. Oh, actually, before that match, sorry, I need to mention, before that match happened, DIY appeared at the show. Johnny Gargano has serious longtime roots in AIW and, of course, in that Cleveland area. So it was cool to see him show up. And, of course, he brought with him Tommaso Ciampa. They were still, at the time of this show, the WWE Tag Team Champions on SmackDown. They wound up losing the titles the next day to Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. But they brought the title belts with them on this show, which is really cool. And they just hyped the crowd up, talked about, you know, how much they love the area and how much AEW means to them and all that stuff. And, you know, cut a really good promo on the microphone. And afterwards, they played the DX theme song, and Ciampa did, like, the Triple H mouth spray and all that stuff. So the fans were really, really into it. And it was a really nice treat considering, you know, how much Gargano specifically means to AIW and to Cleveland wrestling. And, you know, of course, with SummerSlam being there that weekend, it was perfect timing for all that to come together. As far as the next match, as I was mentioning, we had Wes Barkley defending, retaining the AIW and Tennis Championship over Anthony Green. The finish of this one was Anthony Green going for a clothesline onto the referee, but the referee ducks it. He runs right into a Maserati driver, which is Wes's version of a Michinoku driver, for the 1-2-3 to retain the title. After that, we had Kenta defeating Isaiah Broner. The finish of this one was Broner running at Kenta and Kenta sidestepping him. Broner runs right into the buckles, and then he gets hit with a go to sleep. Kenta pins him 1-2-3. Some notable things about this. This is Broner's second loss in a row, which I think they said on commentary has never happened in AIW. He, of course, a former AIW Absolute Champion, which is like their version of their main World Heavyweight Championship. Broner's second loss in a row, and he's lost 3 out of his last 4. So definitely seems like some sort of angle right now in AIW where Broner needs to get back in the win column. But a lot of these losses and stuff in the kind of bad... the bad vibes right now kind of surrounding Broner seem to kind of also mainly stem from, like, Chuck Stone and Cassius King and, you know, what he's been dealing with, you know, not being able to get that Absolute Championship back. And speaking of that Absolute Championship, the main event of the show was a 4-way match for the AIW Absolute title. This was Chuck Stone defending retaining his championship over Alec Price, Derek Dillinger, and Joshua Bishop. The finish of this one was Bishop hitting a Bishop bomb onto Derek Dillinger, and he did it, like, through, I think it was, like, a door and some, he did it into some stuff. I can't remember what weapons were in the ring at the time, but Bishop hits a nice Bishop bomb onto Dillinger, and then Chuck Stone comes up behind Bishop and hits him with his title belt and then pins Dillinger himself. So Chuck Stone gets the win by pinning Derek Dillinger after Bishop hits Dillinger with a Bishop bomb. So Chuck Stone is still your AIW Absolute Champion coming out of Against the World. Once again, that show is available on Triller TV Plus. Got some more results for AIW, which have not aired to my knowledge. I do not think you can watch this yet, and I don't like to assume because that makes an ass out of you and me, of course. But most AIW shows wind up on Triller TV Plus, so that's where I'll be looking out for it, but you never know. Other platforms, YouTube and stuff, I don't know where this is going to air when it does, but I do have the results for y'all right here, right now. This is AIW's Slammed on 6th, and this happened on August 3rd, so this was yesterday on Saturday, happening probably right around the time of SummerSlam, which is probably why they didn't air live. So we have Shaw Mason over Zay Garcia, Jocelyn Navarro over Katie Arquette, who had Derek Dillinger in their corner. Eric Taylor over Brandon Davis. AIW Intense title on the line. Maserati Wes Barkley defends and retains over the Duke. Derek Dillinger with Katie Arquette in their corner over Arez. Joshua Bishop over Manders. Alec Price over Dex Royal, Mikey Montgomery, and Trey Lamar in a 4-way match. We have the AIW tag team titles on the line. PME, the team of Marino Tenaglia and Philly Collins, defend and retain over To Infinity and Beyond, Cheech and Colin Delaney. And the AIW Absolute title on the line, Chuck Stone with Eric Taylor and the Duke in his corner, defends and retains his championship over Matthew Justice. So looks like a great show to look forward to for AIW. I mean, on paper right there, from top to bottom, looks like a lot of bangers. Wes Barkley versus the Duke has a lot of history and a lot of storyline behind it, you know, heading into that one. So interested to see storyline-wise how that one goes. Joshua Bishop versus Manders obviously stands out to me. That's going to be an absolute banger. And it's good to see Bishop get the W. Y'all know I love Manders. I love both these guys. But, you know, good to see Bishop get the win here because he means a lot to AIW. And I don't know how long he's going to be available to them. The more he's with TNA and then whatever could happen to him afterwards and stuff, like, it'd be good to see Joshua Bishop get his flowers and everything in AIW while he can. And Manders, as I mentioned 1,000 times, is, like, not only in GCW, but everywhere. He's one of those guys who's known as just an absolute workhorse who is, he's making, let me put it this way. When people talk about putting in miles in wrestling, look at Manders, because I don't know if anyone's putting in more miles than Manders right now. And then other stuff, you know, that four-way match, that Alec Price, Dex Royal, Mikey Montgomery, Traylon Moore match is probably straight fire. I'm a fan of all four of those guys, big time. Good to see To Infinity and Beyond getting a tag title match against PME coming out of winning the four-way match from the previous show we just covered. And I would imagine that Chuck Stone and Matthew Justice is an absolute banger. That, you know, Matthew Justice is completely insane and will do anything he can to make sure that what he does is memorable. And Chuck Stone's been a great champion for AIW, in my opinion, doing great heel work along with you know, everyone involved, the Duke, Eric Taylor, and all those guys. So good stuff for AIW. I'm looking forward to being able to watch that when it's available. Moving on, got more results for y'all. It is Jameson Shook, good for you. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. If you use code FIGHTTALK over on IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv, it lets the platform know that I sent you their way. Unlike Triller TV Plus, I am endorsed by IWTV to tell y'all to go sign up. So use that code, and I appreciate when you do that. But that all said, had a great show in the TW Arena from Red Bank, Tennessee, which is the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. This was from August 2nd, so this was on Friday night. And this was promoted by Jameson Shook as like a standalone show, but like a lot of crossover from a lot of the companies we cover in the Southeast, like Action Wrestling, TWE, SCI, so on and so forth. So show started off with the Incarnation Gauntlet. The way that the Incarnation Gauntlet works is every pinfall or submission, like every time that someone new is introduced to the match, basically a new stipulation happens. So I'm not going to go through everyone who was involved in this match just to save on time because I'm going a little bit slow here. So to save on time, I'm not going to do all that. But I'm going to tell you all the stipulations and who won. So in this match, just to give you an idea of this Incarnation Gauntlet, what this kind of thing could be, it was a tag team match and then a musical chairs match where it was literally a game of musical chairs. And then, well, let me back up. It was a tag team match and then the winners of the tag team match, the two people who win, had to do musical chairs against one another for the next fall, or whatever you want to call it. So we had musical chairs, and then we had a top rope move match. So like whoever hit a move off the top rope first won automatically. We had a ropes or lava match where anyone who touched any of the ropes immediately got eliminated. We had a find a Pokemon match where you could either find like Pokemon and Pokemon Go, or you can find like a stuffed animal of a Pokemon or something around the arena. So first person to find a Pokemon wins. We had a knockout only match where, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. We had a concrete floor stipulation where the first person to touch the outside of the ring won, basically like the opposite of winning a Royal Rumble type scenario. Like if you got hit to the outside or just made it to the outside, you win. And the last stipulation was just a straight-up Tennessee wrestling match. The winner of this was Poondog. Poondog was a masked tank, allegedly. He winds up tapping out Big Dave to win this thing with a spinning toe hold. Whew, that was a lot to go through. All right, after that, we had a tag team match. It was KOBK, the combination of Sean Campbell and Hardway Heater. They defeat Akuto Death Society, ADS, the team of Kevin Ryan and Chris Kronk, by count out. Basically, what winds up happening here is the KOBK hits a heart attack, and then Akuto Death Society just leave. After that, we had Casey Owens over Rico Gonzalez. The finish here was Rico's knee giving out, and then Casey taking advantage of that by kicking Rico's knee out from under him, and then hitting a knee trembler, like a running knee to the face, William Regal style, for the three count. Big win for Casey Owens. Up next, we had Tommy Vendetta over Braden Toon. Vendetta gets the win after a schoolboy roll-up and grabbing the tights for extra leverage for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the Gig City title on the line in a bedazzled paddle on a pole match, meaning once you got the bedazzled paddle, you could use it as a weapon. Eden winds up defending and retaining their championship over Finesse. Eden grabs the paddle from the pole, I should say, and puts it in their pants, like pretty much just up against their ass, and then does like a running, just, you know, kind of like a Uso style ass/hip attack in the corner, and then pins Finesse 1-2-3. After that, we had a four-way match where Anakin Murphy defeats Gary J, Cody Manhorn, and Landon Hale. The finish of this one was Anakin coming off the top rope and hitting Landon Hale with a mushroom stomp, like a top rope double foot stomp to the shoulder blades of Hale while Hale was hunched over for the three count. After that, we had Jaden Newman over Reed Bentley. Jaden gets the win when Reed runs at him and Jaden hits him with the KSPS. Gets the pinfall victory. Huge pop for Jaden. I mean, the TW Arena is like literally his building. But Reed Bentley got so much respect, and for Jaden to get the win over Bentley in the manner that he did was a big deal, and in big pop, as I mentioned, for Jaden getting that W. After the match, Jaden squared off, or had a little confrontation with, I think it was Austin Luke on the outside. I didn't write that down, but I just remember Jaden talking to someone after, and I think it was Austin Luke. After that, we had Aaron Wade over Malcolm Monroe III. The finish here was Wade using the referee as a shield, and then using that to his advantage, hitting a Trouble in Paradise kick for the 1-2-3. After that, we had one of my favorite matches of the weekend. We had Dylan Hales defeating Negative Lee by referee stoppage, technical submission, I guess you'd call it, maybe knockout. I'm not sure exactly how you'd classify this. I'll say technical submission. Cage Matt says knockout, but I don't know. He knocked him out, then submitted him, basically. So I guess both, technically. But Dylan Hales, if y'all don't know Dylan, it would take too long to explain kind of who he is and all the hats that he wears in wrestling, but for all intents and purposes, he is one of the bookers and the main people behind the scenes for TWE and SCI and Action and a lot of these companies. Just in IWTV in general. I believe his full-time job is, like, I don't know what he would tell you if he asked, hey, what would you classify your full-time job? He'd probably just say everything that has to do with independentwrestling.tv, and that'd probably be pretty accurate, so. Dylan Hale is not a traditional wrestler by any sense of the imagination, but perfect scenario in this building against Negative Lee, an actual legitimate family member of his. So this was great stuff. One of my favorite spots of this whole thing, at one point, Dylan Hale has Negative Lee bent over his knee and he's giving him a spanking, and then he grabs a gusset plate, he takes one out of his pocket, and he goes to do a spanking with the gusset, and Negative Lee moves, and Dylan just gussets his own thigh. I just thought that was hilarious. Papa Hales, who is the father of Dylan, is outside the ring, and he starts throwing hands. Like, him and Negative Lee actually get at it, and he's punching Negative Lee and throws him into the ring. Dylan winds up hitting Negative Lee in the head with a box of oatmeal cream pies, and then, which is technically, I think, what knocked him out. And then he locks in his Tennessee Cloverleaf, a really, really nice version of his Texas Cloverleaf, which he calls the Tennessee Cloverleaf. My favorite submission hold in wrestling history is the Texas Cloverleaf, so if someone doesn't do it well, I will make sure to point it out. He locks that thing in beautifully. And Negative Lee is passed out, the referee has to call it, and after the match, Dylan Hales throws oatmeal cream pies out to the crowd. Dylan's daughter was on commentary, his whole family was around. Once again, Negative Lee is his relative. They're, you know, and the joke is that Dylan Hales cream pied Negative Lee, and then he cream pies the crowd by giving him a bunch of oatmeal cream pies. So once again, Dylan Hales over Negative Lee. And the main event of the show, we had a death match where Matt Tremont defeated Jameson Shook. Jameson Shook, of course, the name of this show, of course, being Jameson Shook Presents Good For You. We had Jameson on recently on the Spotlight, if you want to check out an interview of his We interviewed him like a week or so after he won the Action Future Showcase this year over SCI Weekend. The finish here was Matt Tremont hitting a sit-out powerbomb onto a box of light tubes and a kick out at one from Jameson, followed up immediately by a Death Valley driver onto a whole bunch of broken tubes and just rubbish and stuff all over the ring. Death Valley driver from Tremont to Shook, 1-2-3. Matt Tremont gets the win. Once again, check this show out over on independentwrestling.tv and use code FIGHTTALK. That was Jameson Shook. Good for you. Moving on, got some results for NXT Level Up. We had three matches in an interview segment and kind of like a storyline, kind of meant to be like behind the scenes type look thing too. So I'll explain that. So some quick results here. This was NXT Level Up. Show aired on August 2nd, 2024. I watched it on Hulu, and these are the results. We had Tatum Paxley over Tyra Mae Steele. The finish here was the Psycho Trap by Paxley for the 1-2-3. After that, we had an interview segment with Shiloh Hill. He basically talks about how he gives Riley Osborne his credit. He's very respectful and gives him a lot of props before their match with one another, which is coming up next. Shiloh says he lives by three rules. Rule number one, hit him. Rule number two, hit him harder. Rule number three, repeat step number two. He says he has heart, grit. He works hard, and it is his time now. He seems like a good guy. Really good babyface promo. The next match is Riley Osborne defeating Shiloh Hill. Riley gets the win with a really, really beautiful shooting star press off the top for the three count. After that, we see some footage of, I think it was supposed to be like Twitter footage or something. It was like a video from NXT Anonymous or something like that. Basically Uriah Connors is talking to two guys that are pretty big and basically trying to like hire them to help him out, probably with what he's been dealing with Dion Lennox and soon, and maybe a little faction of his own potentially, or at the very least a couple bodyguards to help him out in the meantime. As far as the next match, we had the main event, which was Malik Blade over Bronco Nima. The finish here was Blade was up on the top rope, and Lucian Price jumps onto the apron to try to distract him. As this happens, Nima runs at Blade, and Blade reverses him into kind of like a small package type pin and gets the 1-2-3 after the match. Malik Blade and Idris Inofe celebrate on the entrance ramp to close out the show, so solid episode, as usual, for NXT Level Up. Moving on, got some quick results for Wildcat Wrestling. This is Wildcat, that's WILDKAT Wrestling. This is X-rated 8. This show took place on July 26th, and this was from Southport Hall in New Orleans, Louisiana. These results are courtesy of Jeremy Lambert, so shout out to the homie Jeremy Lambert, my good friend and co-host of the Spotlight on Fightful. I'm just going to read you the results straight off of Fightful.com, and this way you all know kind of what's going on some companies that we don't cover as often, you know? So this is Wildcat Wrestling, and I'm trying to get the results pulled up here because the thing froze on me. I'm glad that Sean's updating the website, by the way. I heard that there's going to be some updates soon. All right, here we go. We had, Slime Seasons, Jay Spade, and Buka Dao. They defeat Billy Paradise and Drew Taylor. They retain the WKS tag team titles via submission. It looks like Buka Dao put Drew Taylor in an assisted General Dao mission. So Suge White defeated Raja Rali by pinfall after a Cherry Hill overcoat, Uranagi. Mickey Drama was presented the Cat Scratch Fever Championship trophy. Because during his appearance, Mickey Drama invited Simon Phillips to the ring to offer membership to the Drama Club. We had the Savage Gentleman, Victor Benjamin, over Simon Phillips by pinfall. Hits a top rope overhead suplex. That was probably pretty good. Victor Benjamin's really talented. I'm surprised we don't see more of him just kind of like all over the place. After that, we had Chuck Devine over El Trovador by pinfall. Hits him with the DDT for the win in that one. It says, post-match, an incensed Divine still upset with Ringworm's partner, Ringworm with the Z there, Rob McKnight being behind bars. Refused to leave the ring without getting better competition. General manager announced that Since the Revolution champion, Jace Valor, is not medically cleared to compete, Devine will face Valor's scheduled challenger, Nate Bradley. So that's the next match, which is Nate Bradley versus Chuck Devine. He gets the win over Devine with a last ride sit-out powerbomb. Says, during the post-match celebration, Revolution champion Jace Valor appears and attacks Bradley from behind. Valor mockingly coughed in the fallen Nate Bradley's face, indicating Valor's illness was a ruse. So he could have been there the whole time. That was some trickery, it looks like. That says, CMLL's Xexies defeats Tessa Blanchard by pinfall in both women's Wildcat debuts. So that's what Tessa Blanchard's up to nowadays. At one point was, I can't miss, one of the top names in wrestling, brightest future of probably any female star of that time, really. I mean, she really was. She was the Impact World Champion. And, you know, do your own research and all that. But it's just wild that, like, we're reading results for these smaller shows, and it's like, you know, no disrespect to Wildcat Wrestling, but it's just wild that that's where we're at with Tessa Blanchard nowadays. After that, we had Danny Flamingo over Brady Pierce by pinfall. It was an X-rated street fight to retain the WKS championship. And the last thing we got here is it says Brady Pierce took out two referees with a kendo stick before the general manager said Abu Musa donned the stripes, counting and winning the fall for Danny, hit Brady with the pink brass knucks. Okay, so that is Wildcat Wrestling. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for providing those results to us here at Fightful. And I don't know where that show is going to air, if it's going to air anywhere, but they do have social media if you want to check out their X. All right, moving on, got some spoilers. We're going to end today's episode. TNA Impact spoilers. So spoiler alert. If you don't want spoilers, go ahead and just turn the show off right now. And please hit the like button here on Fightful Select before you leave. I'm going to put the timestamp for 1 hour and 2 minutes or 62 minutes into the show. All right, spoiler alert. These are TNA Impact spoilers. It's from August 2nd from the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. These are courtesy of PW Insider. And this is going to be for upcoming episodes, of course, once again, of Impact and also probably some Explosion in here, I would guess. But I'm just going to read out all the results and we're going to get on out of here. All right, we've got Frank Kazarian over Bhupinder Gujjar, Masha Slamovich over Danny Luna, Hammerstone over Eric Young. It says the system, the whole group looks like Moose, Eddie, Alicia, and Brian Myers, along with JDC. They come out and they address Mike Santana. Ultimate X qualifying match, Speedball Mike Bailey defeats Trent Seven and Jake Something. I almost said defends and retains. This was non-title, I don't think. But Speedball over Trent Seven and Jake Something to qualify for Ultimate X. Hey, Kushida over Jonathan Gresham. It says, TNA Knockout Open Challenge. Jordan Grace versus Rosemary went to a no contest when Ash by Elegance attacks both competitors. Josh Alexander calls out Nick Nemeth. Nemeth comes out and lays out Alexander. Another Ultimate X qualifier, Zachary Wentz defeats Casey Navarro and Dante Chen. But that was a banger. I want to see more Dante Chen outside of the WWE system. That's actually really cool. We talk about him on Level Up like all the time. And Casey Navarro, you know, I don't know what happened. Like, everyone was talking about him going off to the WWE, and that was like during the time that like they stopped hiring indie people. And I don't know what the whole story with all that is, but you know, Casey Navarro, super talented, so I bet that was a really, really good match, and it's good to see Zachary Wentz getting the W. It says Joe Hendry defeats Wolfgang of Gallus. We had Rhino and Sami Callihan over First Class, the team of Rich Swann and AJ Francis. Steve Macklin over Zion. Zaya Brookside over Mila Moore. Ultimate X qualifier, we had Riley Osborne, who's from NXT/WWE. We were just talking about him on Level Up. Riley Osborne defeats Chris Bay and John Skyler. That was probably another great banger of a match right there. We had Giselle Shaw over Tasha Steeles. Says the system attacks Mike Santana backstage. System comes out to the ring. Alicia says that they were all expecting Moose for Santana. However, Santana isn't cleared. Santana's music hits and he comes through the crowd. Moose defeats Santana. Says post-match, the system gang up on Santana until Joe Hendry makes the save with a chair. have another X Division, or another Ultimate X qualifier. Jason Hotch defeats Ace Austin and Rich Swann. He's the last of those three I'd expect to win, so that's pretty surprising. We have the TNA World title on the line. Nick Nemeth and Josh Alexander go to a 30-minute time limit draw. Nemeth tried asking for 5 more minutes, but Alexander leaves the ring. Nemeth chases after Alexander, and Alexander lays him out. Frankie Kazarian attacks Nemeth, and PCO makes the save. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please make sure to hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please use code FightTalk at independentwrestling.tv. And please watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of wrestling. We talk AEW, WWE, indies, whole bunch of stuff. We got interviews for y'all with YouTube creators, just content creators in general. We've got promoters, we got wrestlers, we've got a whole bunch of different interviews for y'all all over the board. So look forward to those, and please check the show out. We really appreciate people who watch live. We're an early Thursday morning show, so we understand why a lot of people can't be there live to watch the show with us that early. And of course, people have jobs and their own lives and stuff like that too. But whether you're live with us or you watch on demand, I appreciate every single person who checks that show out. So thank you all for watching the Spotlight, and thank you very much for listening to The Weekender. I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.